This morning's scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of the mountains. It will be lifted above the hills. People will stream to it. Many nations will go and say, "Come, let's go to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in God's paths." Instruction will come from Zion, the Lord's word from Jerusalem. God will judge between the nations and settle disputes of mighty nations. Then they will beat their swords into iron plows and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn how to make war. Come, house of Jacob, let's walk by the Lord's light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love the traditions of Advent, the candles, the music, the anticipation, even the color, especially the color of the liturgical pyramids. These are time-tested traditions which we continue to hold. But every so often, it might be helpful to start new traditions which might direct our focus and renew the message that might have grown dim with all the familiarity of repetition. One such new Advent tradition at St. Luke's has become the Advent movie. We have acquired a custom of selecting a movie that reflects not only the message of Advent, but often makes a poignant statement on the challenges of our particular situation and the needs we are encountering in that particular year. The movies seem to offer us the light of fresh images for our spiritual reflection during Advent. This year's Advent movie was introduced last week as many in the congregation gathered to watch The Christmas Candle. It's a movie set in 19th century England and addresses the challenges of change faced by a small village over the past 200 years. They were left wondering whether, amid the modern marvels like electricity, if anyone really needed the light of a simple candle. This is an important question for us to ponder as candle season officially opens with the lighting of the first candle of Advent. Not only because we need to recapture the meaning of the candle itself, but because it sets the light of a simple candle in the context of our own time, which is filled with the light of ever-accelerating modern marvels of our day. The movie opened the gate for my mind to almost run away with itself, going in new and confusing places as I reflected on lighting our Advent candles. Now, mind can become lost after so much running, until finally, if not from exhaustion, then from smacking into something that you didn't see or expect, there comes an awakening, an Advent awakening. The question for us this morning is this: why a candle? Why use a simple candle to call our attention to the spiritual exploration of the mystery and the promise of Advent? Maybe it's the simplicity. Maybe we need the light of a simple candle, especially now, to call our attention to the fact that of all the modern marvels, they yet fail to explain or control the mysteries of our faith. In this season, we turn to the light of a simple candle to illuminate our path and rekindle our faith. As I sat holding my Christmas candle this week, I tried to make sense of why, in this age of modern marvels, why in every age have candles been used to reflect the message of so many faith traditions, not just Christianity. Well, quickly, I realized my mind was running down a path I would need to come back to later. For now, I needed to head down a more particular path. I had a sermon to prepare, one that explored hope on the first Sunday of Advent. So focus. What does a simple candle have to say about Advent that can offer light to our path and rekindle our faith? As I sat there holding my Christmas candle, I found myself wishing that hope was something that I could hold in my hand, like a candle. Something that I could wrap my hand around and wouldn't slip through my fingers. Maybe then we would have fewer problems with losing hope. Wouldn't that be great if the promises in which we hope, the God who is our hope, were things that we could hold in our hands? That wasn't a novel idea. People have long since looked for things of substance, things to hold on to inspire their hope and make promises seem more substantial while they wait. Take the promise of the prophet Isaiah in this morning's Advent reading. He promised there would be an end to war, the beginning of peaceful human community, centered on agriculture, not casting of weapons, on viniculture, not plans for bloodshed and slaughter. Swords beat into plowshares. That's hard to even imagine, isn't it? It was hard to imagine in Isaiah's day when his people found themselves in the midst of deeply dangerous time when war was always threatening. Their tiny nation sat at the crossroads between powerful and warring peoples. They didn't have the firepower to defend themselves from the ever-present threats of danger. Inevitably, they were caught in the crossfire. We are told many of the battles between the empires to the north and the south would take place on their land, often in the plains of Megiddo, also known as Armageddon. Isaiah's promise is still hard to imagine, even maybe especially in our day of modern marvels. All across our country, people on city streets, in supermarkets, in nightclubs, even in schools and churches, find themselves caught in the crossfire of weapons and hate. We are left wondering if weapons will ever be beaten into plowshares. When will Isaiah's promise become something we can hold in our hands? Isaiah's promise has taken substance through the imaginative work of artists who have attempted to give us something to hold in our hands to inspire our hope while we wait for those promises, while we long for those promises to be fulfilled. I read an article about a sculpture that was erected in 1997 in Washington, D.C., titled Guns into Plowshares. This 16-foot-high steel plow blade consists of 3,000 handguns welded together to form the distinctive shape of a well-known farm implement. Artist Esther Osberger and her son worked for 2.5 years with the Metro Police Department. They molded handguns that had been surrendered by local residents into the plow. Why can't hope be something we can hold in our hands like a candle while we wait for the unfolding promises in which we hope? Maybe then we wouldn't lose hope so easily. But the things we hold in our hands, while they may inspire our hope, seem to fail to have the power to change anything or to fulfill the promises in which we hope. Osberger understood the challenge of creating an art object intended to persuade people to stop killing each other. Has it had any impact? Gang members did gather around the plow to discuss peace in D.C. city streets. They soon walked away, unable to let go of certain grudges. It would seem that hope does not come from things we hold in our hands, earthly things, but from above. There I sat, still holding my Christmas candle. Why hold a simple candle if hope isn't something we can hold in our hand? Ah, but that's just it. We don't just hold the candle. We light it and pray. Once the candle is lighted, it offers a more powerful Advent message. Once we light the candle and pray, it offers us light. The light of the Lord, as Isaiah would say. We can't hold the light of the candle's flame in our hand. But by its light, we can dispel the darkness. We can feel its warmth. The candle's flame is a fire, and it has the energy to ignite that which encounters it. You see, hope is more like the light of the candle's flame than it is the candle. Our problem might not be that we have no hope or even that we have lost hope, but rather that we allow hope to lie hidden in our heart like an unlit candle. We don't need to find hope. We need to approach the holy flame of Advent and allow the burning presence of God to ignite the spark of hope that lies hidden in our hearts. What we need in the midst of darkness is not something we can hold in our hand while we wait for the coming light, but rather an awareness that hope is a spark that lies within us. Hope is not necessarily standing in the darkness and awaiting the coming light. Rather, hope can be standing in the darkness and discovering the embers that glow even there. Hope, if it is any hope at all, is more than dreaming about some desired future or even believing in the promise of it. David Arnold's definition of hope invites us not only to dream, but to act. He suggests that for him, hope fuels our actions to help bring about the promises we have received. Regarding this connection of hope to action, he writes, first, that hope fuels action by unleashing energy and motivation so we can persist in times of trial. Regarding action, hope embodies our ongoing determination and effort to shape the future, regardless of circumstances. The call of this first Sunday of Advent is not to find hope or even to hold it in your hand. The call is simply to gather around the candle of hope, to light it and pray. What will happen is sure to be nothing short of a miracle. The light of the candle's flame will shine upon you. The spark of hope that is hidden within your heart will be ignited by the holy fire of God's presence, filling you with a passion that burns with divine energy, fueling you to engage in the unfolding promises of God that are all around. Light this and pray, walking ever by the light of the Lord. Amen.